and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted you've joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion based on the issue we're talking about. We're talking about today, New Year's resolutions. And I can add a little footnote to that. Should Christians prepare New Year's resolutions? What does it mean for New Year's resolution? If there's a resolution, what ought they be in a Christian life, in a Christian home, a Christian family, a Christian church? What should it be like? There are a lot of people that are right now saying, I'm going to work less, make more money. I'm going to do a better job of being faithful to my family and to my home. I'm going to do a better job of, in fact, some maybe you're saying now, this new year, I'm going to start going to church. This new year, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. This new year, I want to get a better job. I want to do more for one another, et cetera, et cetera. This new year, I plan to spend more time with my family, listen to the right music, go to the right places, et cetera, et cetera. And it is just infinitum, the number of things that we could say that many will pick and choose as their New Year's resolutions. But if we recognize the time frame that is before us in this new year, we have 365 days in this new year, 52 weeks, 12 months, a total of 31,449,600 seconds. How are we going to use those? How do we invest in those? What do we do with it? We need to put God first, number one. We need to faith God and not by sight. As we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? That means each and every day when we get up, put our feet on the floor, we cannot simply say, this I will do, this I won't do, because we do not know. In fact, in the 4th chapter of the book of James, the Bible talks about very clearly that we ought not to say, I'm going here and going there and do this, do that, do the other. We should say, Lord willing, this is what I'm going to do. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I have attended a few of those churches, and I do find that the music and the lights and everything else is distracting. But what I want to ask both of you gentlemen, how do you address an individual that says that, okay, I like the music, but the service starts with the music, and then the pastor gives a sermon, and the sermon is theologically correct or biblically correct, and then they go on to more of the music there. How do you address that type of person? Personally, myself, like I said, I find it very distracting, and my mind's not concentrated or focused enough on the sermon itself, especially after your ears are ringing and you're seeing blinking dots in front of your eyes. But how do you address that to an individual that might say that to you, that the sermon itself is theologically sound?
All right, Brother Ken, I'm going to toss that over to you. How would you respond to Jim's question?
So initially I'd answer by saying this, that the parable of the sower is the most important parable. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower, you won't understand any of the parables. Mm-hmm. And as we look at those four soil conditions, there are four types of hearts in which the seed is cast by the Son of God himself, many times through instrumentation that he provides through men of God, preaching of the gospel. I'd like to draw your attention to that soil that received the word with joy. And there, what that word joy means, it's a word that explained the environment that was prevalent in the Greek theatrical concerts, skits that they would do in the first century, where there was joy and a spectatorship and a theatrical production. So you see that in this hyped up environment, that the hearer with joy quickly believes the message and receives the word, but it's not an authentic salvation. It's almost like you're going to buy a new car, and you're caught up in the beautiful car, the smell of the new car, the color of the new car, and not really thinking logically, intellectually, of the implications of how am I going to make this $1,000 car payment. You make a decision based upon some feeling that you have, you like that car. And that's the transient type of decision that's made when you get into a ministry situation where this euphoric celebration, emotional music, the lights, it does not produce an authentic salvation experience. And once you remove the stimulus of the music and the lights and the reality of the Christian walk comes into play, Jesus explained, they don't want anything to do with it. Once the stimulus is gone, their faith was temporary. Their faith was not authentic. So it's a dangerous type of environment. And the thing is, as you see, the feeding of the 5,000. There was this group of people that followed Christ because of his miracles and because of his feeding them.
They wanted to get fed.
Yes. And you know, that was the group who was the most enthusiastic, and they tried to force to make Jesus to be king. He fled from them. He hid from them. He went across the Sea of Galilee. They hunted him down eventually, and he confronted them with some spiritual truth about the kingdom as it relates to eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And once they realized that the authentic walk with Christ involves serious spiritual truth, it says that they turned from him and never followed him again. And that's the great harm that's done right now. These people who are claiming to come to Christ in these type atmospheres we see in modern churches, they run the risk of turning from Christ and never coming back.
Bottom line is what you're saying, and Jim, what my position in summarization is, that multitudes of them get excited about the entertainment and the setting rather than faithing and hearing the Word of God. I've said many, many times in the past 50, 60 years, over 60 years in ministry, we have many today, if not most, they will simply make a decision on what church they're going to based on friends or family or based on entertainment. I've had the opportunity to interview hundreds of people, not in a setting of saying, let me interview you, but in communication. What do you look for in a church? I've heard people talk about, well, I want to go to a church where they've got a good nursery program for my baby. I want to go to a church where they've got a good singing program so that my teenagers can be entertained. I want to go to a church where they've got a good youth program. I want to go to a church where they've got a senior program that twice a year they go to the shopping centers, shopping malls, and to the mountains for looking at the leaves changing color. I've yet to hear a single person being interviewed. I want to go to a church where the Word of God is proclaimed verse by verse, chapter by chapter, that I can learn God's Word. word. I've not had one yet, not a single one. And all of these years, that's been the response. We find people more in tune with entertainment than with education of the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that stands. It's the Word of God that has eternal values. It's if we want to call it New Year's resolutions, that resolution ought to be based on the fact, I'm going to study the Word. I want to know the Word. I want to know God better. I want to serve Him more. If you want a summarization of my opinion, my position on New Year's resolutions, it ought to be centralized in those three statements and places. And that's my prayer for our listeners today, Jim, that there will be a resolution, written or unwritten, a resolution that says, God, I'm going to seek you first. God, I'm going to make a commitment in my life to your Lordship over my life, and I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight as I serve you each and every day. Brother Ken?
Yeah, Jim, just to respond in a little bit more detail, Jude calls it out like this. He says, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. And it's not talking about people necessarily with a physical lust. It's talking about that word sensual is soulish. Soulish, which means just operating based on their soul with their natural senses, their logic, and this concept called sentimentality, without the inward power of the Spirit. And it describes a human state that's governed primarily by the senses, by the imagination, rather than by the Spirit and the understanding. So sentimentality is a big seller in modern society. And here's what it is, and this is the key to the modern church: one who desires to have the luxury of emotion without paying for it. It appeals to a shallow individual looking for immediate gratification, uncomplicated emotions at the expense of reasons and the intellect. Christ reaches the individual through the intellect and the understanding. Satan activates the individual by the affections. And when the emotions are stirred by taking in the powerful music, the theatrical lights of show, it triggers this sentimentality that defeats any intellectual acting on spiritual truth for salvation and spiritual growth.
Absolutely. Well said. Brother Jim, thank you so much for your call. And it's my prayer that you will have a blessed, happy New Year. God bless you, and thank you for calling today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Brother Ken, another aspect of what I view as being proper resolution for the new year would be for a believer to embrace life from an eternal perspective. Not just today, not just this year, not just this month, but we must live with a focus on this life. Our life is temporal. We may be here 50, 60, 70, 100 years, but eternity is eternal. And according to the scripture, Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above, not on the earth. And yet, most Christians, most individuals, perhaps the majority of those listening today, are setting their affections on things on this earth and not on eternal values, eternal things. We may live 50, 60, 100 years, as I said. It's just a speck in time. In fact, I give the picture, the image. Here's a huge wall, beautiful wall, clear, nothing on it, but one little speck in the very center, fly speck as I call it. That's the life on this earth, that little speck. And that gigantic wall is eternity. And I believe that it's necessary for Christians in particular to start viewing and embracing life with an eternal perspective. What would God have me to do? What will my legacy be like when I'm gone? What will I leave that others can follow? What will those that follow in my footsteps see of my life with the eternal perspective, the eternal values, as we look at what the Scripture says? May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the eternal value, the eternal perspective, is the only perspective that has value, the only perspective that lasts, that has endurance in this world. Brother Ken, what is it about a New Year's resolution that fits into that category of living life and viewing life with and embracing life with eternal perspective? What fits into that cubby, if you will? So therefore, with that being said, my question is, using Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? What should be our perspective? What should we embrace and have the takeaway with that statement?
So, integral to the health, growth, and equipping of the believer is the local church.
Mm-hmm.
And although the Bible is very clear about private devotions, private study, private prayer, private fasting, many of the Christian disciplines, contrary to the modern church, which is all outward and public and overt, calls for secrecy in our Christian disciplines, to do things in private, such as prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. But you cannot separate Christian growth, spiritual growth, from a healthy, dynamic local church environment.
That's right, amen.
And if we don't fix these errors, I believe if we counsel people, put God first, to walk by faith, and these things, they're going to end up, and to them, their definition of that is what's been outlined by the modern church.
That's right.
And getting them deeper and deeper and deeper into that will be much more difficult to rescue them. So it calls for some intense study, mm-hmm. from each individual to authenticate what's happening in their local church. And this all happened back in the late 90s when this apostasy began, walking away. Many in the Baptist denomination who were fundamental Bible-believing dropped the name Baptist and softened their message, softened their ministry, introduced the colored lights, introduced and many people had trouble with that, but many of them have stayed and tolerated. Mm-hmm. And out of the love for the Lord Jesus and the souls of men, and wanting the gospel in the local church to prosper as it is in the Bible. And it's a great work in the Bible from the beginning of time to the end of Revelation to attempt to correct errors, specifically in organized public assembly.
Absolutely.
And that's where my heart is today, and that's what I'm thinking about, for people to develop the ability to identify these false ministries,
yes,
that employ these means.
On the heels of that, let me jump in and say this. I'm amazed. I'm grieved. I am astonished at the number of older Christians that will recognize the era in the modern church, as you say, with what I call the rock and roll music, with the intense entertainment, and with all that goes along with that. I'm amazed at the number of older Christian men and women that will go to those churches and say, I don't agree with it, I don't like it, I don't get fed, but after all, I've got a grandson that loves it, I've got a granddaughter that loves it, my son or my daughter loves it, and I want to go to help them, to appease them, to satisfy them. What's wrong with that picture?
Let me put a little meat on the bones on one of these errors I brought up. It's about hypocrites that operate, mm-hmm. these counterfeit ministries. And we learned at Jesus Christ, his teaching, his first mention of music in his teaching, Matthew 6:2, he says, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites. He was referring back to the Pharisees' ministry, the most popular religion of the day that many people flocked to and thought that they were extremely close to God. But notice this word that Christ describes these hypocrites. It's not a generic hypocrisy where a person may say one thing and do another. It's a hypocrite of an extra nature. Properly, the Greek word is an actor under assumed character, a stage player. And it's like they're a performer acting under a mask. And here's the key I want to bring out. It's a two-faced person whose profession does not match their practice.
Right.
Could anything be more revealing about these hypocrites that operate these? They portray themselves as one profession doing another profession. So what does the modern church do? We have business entrepreneurs acting as preachers,
mm-hmm.
their attire. We have rock and roll musicians acting as a preacher. They're not a preacher, they're a rock and roll musician.
Mm-hmm.
We have country music musicians posing as preachers. They're of one profession, assuming the role of gospel ministry, a preacher. Now that preacher, the man of God, is God's candlestick. It's God's messenger. He's set aside in a special position, sanctified for God's use. And the modern church. He's a skateboarder that's posing as a preacher. He's the congregation's peer. Oh, he's just another regular guy. Well, I could relate to him, and I'm going to believe more of the Bible if he tells me than somebody does in more of a traditional minister's attire. Or he's a tech professional. Or he's a urban youth in his sneakers and streetwear. And this is part of the study. How do we identify these ministries that are counterfeits, that are going to lead us farther out of the path of a mature spiritual walk in accordance with the commands of Christ? And which of those is, we need to separate ourselves from that, correct it, and find a ministry where we can flourish spiritually. But you're not going to do it under these type of ministries.
Absolutely. It means getting into the Word, studying the Word, knowing the Word. And it gets back to, in our modern society, most people do not spend the time in the Word and study the Word. In fact, I go back to the 5th chapter of Ephesians, the 16th verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That evil is the word poneros, bad, wicked, unhealthy, unholy. We need to recognize when a day passes, it's gone. When a moment passes, it's gone. When a month passes, it's gone. It cannot reclaim it. So what we need to focus on, in my personal opinion, as a resolution for the new year, is to recognize that each and every moment of each and every day is valuable, and therefore we need to redeem the time. Realizing that redeeming the time means to buy it back. That is to reclaim that time, and we need to reclaim it for God and for the gospel and for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to reclaim that time by being in a church where we can study the Word and allow the Word of God to permeate our hearts. Need to redeem that time by spending time with our boys and girls, our family members, and letting them see and walk in our footsteps and saying, this is what God would have us to do. This is where God would have us to go. This is how God would have us to live. And so therefore, we're going to redeem the time, buying it back, realizing the days are wicked, the days are evil, and it's irreconcilably not to be reclaimed. So use it wisely each and every day and each and every moment. I just would kind of summarize what I've thought in relationship to the having resolutions for a Christian. We need to trust God and not self. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, most Christians recognize this. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, not perhaps, not maybe, but shall direct thy path. And just a little footnote to that, our plans and priorities ought to be brought under the scrutiny of the light of the Holy Spirit of God. Our time, our plans, and our preparation in this new year, Brother Ken, ought to be brought under the scrutiny of the revealed Word of God through His Word, through the Bible. We have so many today, and perhaps there's one listening. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. How are you planning to live your life the next 365 days in this brand new year? Are your days, moments, and months going to be surrendered to the Lord for God to say, do this, don't do that, and the other? That is, lean not on thine own understanding. That is, don't lean on our human thoughts, our human feelings, and understanding. But in all of thy ways, in all of thy ways, not some, all of thy ways. The word way there means bent, leaning, direction. And everything that you think about doing and everything that you want to do, acknowledge him. That's acknowledge God. And he, that is God, shall direct thy paths. Our plans and priorities ought to be brought under the search scrutiny of the searchlight of the Holy Spirit of God. Will it please God? I believe Bob's on the line. Bob, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor. Personally, and I think you know, I choose a church by what version of the Bible they use. I was wondering how important that is to your guest.
Well, Brother Ken, share your thoughts on relationship to translations.
I believe it's critical. I believe that the original Hebrew, and there's portions of Aramaic, and the Greek are the inspired text, word for word, breathed from God, penned by man, mm-hmm. under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I believe our English translation, the one that I use, I try to choose the best, most accurate English translation of the inspired text, which I believe is the King James Bible. Now, I spend a lot of time in the original languages. I have an interlinear Bible. It's very beneficial. And I test the English translation to the original languages. I do believe this as well. I believe there's a doctrine of preservation. God has promised to preserve his word. Amen. And while that agrees the original languages, everybody's not going to speak Greek. Everybody's not going to speak Hebrew or any other foreign language, that God supervised translations of his word that are preserved. Are they the inspired text? No. Are they preserved? I think it's a different quality in which we're talking about. So I look for the best. What I, based on my study of the languages and other versions, I believe it is very critical.
Absolutely. A lot of people, Bob, say, well, you know, the King James with the these and the thous and so forth is so archaic that I need something that I can understand better. But you go back to many of the modern translations, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That only begotten connotes without any equivocation the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So any version of the scripture I pick up, I make a beeline to John 3:16. What does it say? Does it leave only begotten out? If it does, it is not worth the paper it's printed on, because it's simply omitting the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the virgin birth, we have no salvation, no hope, no help, no eternity. Brother Ken, wrap up the thoughts. Bob, thank you so much for your call, brother. God bless you, and may you and your family have a blessed, happy new year.
Well, we've had some great questions call in today.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Just in summary, I just want to highlight the big misunderstanding for lay people to think about. And it's this, it might put our finger on it, that all the most fabulous, exotic, colored lights and emotional music cannot help anyone get a clearer picture or gain closeness to the divine nature of Jesus Christ and the triune God. The human imagination and intellect are too weak, they're too damaged by the fall. Even when inflamed and impressed with all these techniques of the churches and their professional musicians of the day. And what it does, it transfers the worshiper's role from a diligent workman learner into a passive emotional spectator. And in the end, all these man-made techniques to try to create this environment to help people and assist them, it actually does the opposite.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you to have a happy, blessed new year. And if you're talking about New Year's resolutions, let me just summarize it for us. We need to put the scripture over opinion.
Amen.
We need to put faith over fear. We need to have that with eternal values, not temporal gain. We need to be obedience to God over comfort of our lives. We need to have a commitment to God, not philosophy. And faithfulness in church attendance with a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching New Testament church will alter multitudes of things in our lives in this coming year. So a happy new year, and God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you for calling today. Thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships.